So friends, as I said at the beginning of Mass, it is Trinity Sunday. And Trinity Sunday in some circles of the church is known as the preacher's nightmare. How can you explain or expound upon this incredible mystery of faith? But preacher's nightmare, like, come on. I saw Trinity Sunday, I circled it on my calendar. I'm like, oh yeah, we're bringing it, Trinity Sunday. Easy to comprehend? No. There's a great story from St. Augustine, who, by the way, is one of the church fathers who knew the most about the Trinity. And story goes like this. Augustine is on the beach by the ocean, and he's pondering the mystery of the Trinity. He ends up writing a book on the Trinity. It's called De Trinitatis, of the Trinity, right? Creatively titled. He sees a little boy who has dug a hole in the beach, in the sand on the beach. And he has a little tiny bucket. And the boy is running to the ocean and he fills the bucket with water and then he runs back and he pours the hole full of, pours the water into the hole. And Augustine came up and said, little boy, what are you doing? And the boy said, I'm going to put the ocean into this hole. And Augustine says, well, that'll never work. And the boy looks up at him and says, I will put all of the ocean into this hole before you will understand the mystery of the Trinity. And then with that, the boy vanished, disappeared. So there you go. Easy to comprehend? No. All right? But is it necessary for us to engage? Absolutely. Especially in this time. And we'll get to that. But let me start with the Catechism, paragraph 234 in the Catechism. If you don't have a Catechism, you should get one. If you don't have the funds to get one, if you have a smartphone, you have one, because all you have to do is look it up. It's free on the Vatican website, right? And it teaches so much of our faith. This is what it says about the Holy Trinity. Paragraph 234. The mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is therefore the source of all other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of faith. The central mystery of Christian faith and life. It's everything. Everything moves from this beautiful mystery of the Trinity. So what can be said? Well, first off, this. We didn't think this up on our own. Wasn't it just a bunch of old dudes sitting around going like, one, three, three, one. Let's just equate them. And we'll confuse people for thousands of years. No, it didn't come from people thinking this up. The mystery of the Trinity comes from divine revelation. It is how God himself chose to disclose himself. And that's good. He chose to disclose himself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it goes beyond our small-minded thinking and our understanding. And quite literally, thank God for that. Because if any one of us here could figure out God with our pea brains, we would be worshiping a very small, weak God. And so it's a mystery. But that's our life in so many ways. In fact, the best things of our lives are always mysterious. The best relationships in our lives are always mysterious. We never have things figured out fully. And that's a good thing because that means we can grow and we can deepen our understanding. So again, what can be said? Well, let me try to keep it simple and practical tonight. The Trinity teaches us about relationship and about love. Relationship and love. So we began Mass tonight in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name. One divine substance. In the name. Not the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name. One divine substance, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that teaches us something profound. That relationship is at the core of everything, because God is at the core of everything. And God himself is not solitary. He is not alone. But from all eternity, he is a communion of persons. A communion of persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always and forever in relationship with one another. To get more technical, what the dogma of the Trinity teaches is that relationship is metaphysically basic. It's metaphysically basic. See, we have the physical world, and then there's the metaphysical world, the world that exists beyond just what is merely physical. At the order of being, relationship is at the core, at the center. It's foundational for all other reality, which means it's also foundational for our reality. And the names within the Trinity are relational ones, especially Father and Son. You can't be a father unless you have children. You can't be a son unless you have a father. And by the way, that's why we shouldn't stop using those names, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's how God willed to reveal himself. That's how he named himself. And those names emphasize relationship. There's a push years ago, it still exists in certain places, to remove those names and just call God the Father the Creator, and call God the Son the Redeemer, and call God the Holy Spirit the Sanctifier, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. But that signifies what they do. Whereas the Trinity speaks to who they are, being before action, Father, Son, and Spirit. Relationship. Now, how do they exist in relationship? In love. That's how they exist in relationship. Probably the best description of God in all of the scriptures is three words found in the first letter of John. John 4, 1 John 4. God is love. God is love. But notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say God loves. It doesn't say God has love, but rather that God is love. So back to St. Augustine, switching away from our more familiar terms of Father, Son, and Spirit. When he talks about the Trinity, he says, he shifts the language, and he says, we have the lover, the beloved, and the love that unites them. The lover, the beloved, and the love that unites them. Beautiful, right? See, we can understand that. We can relate to that. The perfection of love between the lover, the Father, the beloved, the Son, is so profound that it is another person. The love that unites them, the Holy Spirit. We can get into that because, friends, that is family life. See, family life, your family life, is meant to be an icon of the Trinity. Lover, beloved, and a love that's so profound that it actually is another person. Do you see? Husband, wife, children, an icon of the Trinity. You also see, by the way, and this is a homily for another time, why the church's teaching on contraception is what it is. Lover, beloved, and a love that's so profound that it produces life. Well, there you go. It's not just out of nowhere. All right, so, great. What does all of this mean? Nice, Father Mark. Thanks so much for sharing. What does it have to do with our lives? Remember that the Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It's not just about faith, what we believe. It's also about life, how we live, what we do. So go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image and after our likeness." We're created in the image and likeness of God who is Trinity, of God who is fundamentally relational, of God who is love. That is our unique dignity in all of creation. Nothing else in creation is created in the image and likeness of God in the way that we are. That's a beautiful thing. And it's written into the very fabric of our existence. It's part of our human nature. Well, turn on the news and look at our country right now. Don't you see how so many are living beneath the dignity that God has bestowed on us? Dehumanizing one another, whether because of race or profession or politics. Everything right now being spoken of in terms of power, and none about terms of relationship. And all that does for me is wave the awful flag of sin. Personal sin, systemic sin, whatever you want to call it, all of it, all sin is an attack on relationship and communion. And it's right in front of us. It's also right in here, in all of us. It's not just in front of us, it's in us. It's why we need Jesus as a savior. So metaphysically, we're off kilter. We're meant to be in radical relationship. We're meant to be giving love, receiving love, and bringing love into the world, and we're not. Well, maybe, just maybe, the dogma of the Trinity might cause us to pause for a moment and think about charting a different course. See, when Jesus took on our human nature in the incarnation, he opened a way for us to enter into the divine life of the Trinity, where there is lover, beloved, and the love that unites them. And that means for each one of us, Jesus opens a way for us to live the fullness of our human nature, which is to say that you and I are meant to receive love like the Son does, to give love like the Father does, and to bring love really and truly into the world like the Holy Spirit does. In these days, when everybody should be doing a lot more listening and certainly a lot more praying, I want to leave us all with a challenge to pray about how that truth that you are meant to receive love and give love and bring love into the world, how that truth, that Trinitarian truth, might change how we think, how we speak, and certainly how we act. Brothers and sisters, let's immerse ourselves daily in the great mystery of the Trinity, and in so doing, live the full dignity we have received from God himself, he who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.